Amen. And 1 John chapter number 2, the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are precious epistles. They're written to the local church and to the members of the church. It uses some interesting terms in addressing the people here. It's written to the peculiar lady, the elect lady, I should say, and her children. So there's all kinds of different ideas why that is. Some people believe that because the church was under a lot of persecution at that time, they did not want to draw attention to certain people. But in either case, no matter why it was, that term children caught my attention as I was studying for tonight. And I want you to see in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John a repeated process in which our school ministry is endeavoring to do still to this day. So we're going to start here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. Says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." I want you to see three things from these three different books. All right. Number one, I want you to consider the education. The education, 1 John obviously is the larger of the three books, because I believe John's given a lot of instruction here in the book of 1 John. And part of the education is this, and starting in chapter 2 and verse number 1, and by the way, everything I'm going to say is what we're trying to do as a school as well. Number one is to allow the young people to understand some principles. And the principles are simply this in chapter 2 and verse number 1, and these aren't fancy alliterated, but they're true, all right? In verse number 1, we want to teach our children to know the difference between right and wrong. The Bible says, "I write unto you that you sin not." Now listen to me, there is a right and there is a wrong. There is a thing called sin. Sin is the breaking of the commandments of God. Sin is missing the mark, transgression of the law. And we live in a world today that doesn't want to admit that there's a right and wrong. And they teach young people that everybody's opinion is all that matters. And that's false teaching. There is a right, there is a wrong, and the Word of God is the standard. And so we want to teach that there is a right and wrong. The second principle is this, in verse number 2, that there is a way of salvation. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We want to teach our young people that there is a right, there is a wrong. Sin demands death, but praise God, there is a way of salvation. Amen. That God has provided that. He is our advocate. He is our propitiation for our sins. There is a way of salvation. We want them also to learn in verse number 3 that the more that you know God, the easier it is to do right. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." The more you get to know God, the easier it is to do right and follow the Lord. And so we have here that we want to teach these principles. There's a right, there's a wrong, there is a way of salvation. The more you know God, the more you want to do right. Number 4, in verse number 4, this principle that your life tells who you serve. In verse number 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." The fact is this, we all can say whatever we want to say, but our life proves what we truly believe in. And if you're here tonight and you can say whatever you want to say, but those around us, our family, our friends, they know who we really serve. Fifth principle is this, in verse number 9 and 10, the more you love God, the more you're going to love people. The Bible says, "He that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." The fact is this, that the more you love God, the more you're going to love people. And the reason why I believe, one of the reasons why Christian education is so important, because we want to teach children that there is a right and there's a wrong. Amen? We want to teach children that there is a way of salvation. We want to teach children that the more you love God, the more easier it is to do right. We want to teach children that your life is going to say who you're serving. And in a world full of hatred, the more they learn to love God, the more they're going to love people. And it's important to teach these things, to understand these principles. That's part of the education. But also in chapter 2 and verse number 12, notice when it's written to the little children to understand their purpose. It says, "I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." Can I tell you something? That children will do so much better when they get the understanding that life is about glorifying God. That life is all about bringing praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world today that seeks our own honor. Everything is centered on the person and you and me. All social media is about me and you. And the world teaches that philosophy. Yet the true biblical understanding is to realize this, that the greatest life that one can possibly live is a life that just simply glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. To help us to understand, as the Bible says, these principles, to understand our purpose. Thirdly, to understand the passion. In verse number 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. And here it is. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. God wants us, and we try to teach our young people how God desires to be a father to them. How God desires nothing more than to have this relationship with them. God desires to have this relationship of a father-child relationship. You know, God could have chose any title to be called. He could have chose to call him the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, the almighty one, and he is all those things. But God chose in the New Testament for us to refer to him as a father because that's the relationship he wants us to enjoy. The care a father has for his child, the compassion a father has for his child, the provision a father has for his child. And then it's sad that the world tries to attack this relationship and the world that we live in, how there's so many fathers that don't fulfill this role, and it kind of messes up and muddies up the view that God should have from us as children. But God wants us to know, and oh, that we can teach the depth and the understanding and the reach of the Father's love. And that's something we desire to do at our school. You say you haven't talked about, you know, a history subject or science subject. I know, because if you get all these things right, the other things will fall in order. And I know there's some different opinions on a whole lot of, and public schools are starting to teach some weird things out there. The fact is this is the motivation, because these things are important. To understand these principles, to understand the purpose, to understand the passion, and to understand in chapter 2 and verse 28 the prize. It says there in chapter 2, verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I want our young people to learn and be ready for the Lord's return. The Lord could come back tonight. And I say, even so, come quickly. But the Lord could come back tonight. And I want them to be ready to stand before the Lord, as the passage says here, with confidence. With confidence. None of us are righteous. No, not one. Amen? But I think we can have a confidence that I'm ready. A confidence that I'm living a life that God will be pleased with. You know, they don't have to go and hide a bunch of things. You know, the Lord's so wise in not telling us when he's coming back, because we're all evil people. We'd all make sure we're right just on that last day and indulge ourselves probably before. But the fact is this, we need to be ready and have confidence at his coming. And then we could teach them to understand his power. In chapter number 4 and in verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." We want to teach our children this education to understand the power. Say, what are you talking about there? Simply this, we in our flesh will fail every time. But with God's power, there's nothing that God can't do through any of these young people. And we want to teach them that God has a calling upon every one of their lives, and the secret is to tap into that power. So you see, the education is understanding these principles, purpose, passion, prize, and power. But then we go to 2 John and we see the expectation of these children. In 2 John, in verse number 4, the Bible says this, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." You know, what a wonderful thing, John says, to be able to find these children walking in truth. I see here a couple things in this one verse. Number one, a celebration. The Bible says, "I rejoiced greatly." It ought to thrill the heart of every parent, and can I say every church member of this church, that we have this ministry, to see young people going on and serving the Lord. It ought to be an exciting thing and a goal of ours. And you see the celebration that they rejoiced greatly to see and to hear of children walking in truth. But not just a celebration, but a continuation. It says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." They continue to take what they had been taught, and that was addressed in 1 John, and now they're living that. Listen, we are not a success as a school just to graduate young people. The goal of the school is to graduate young people with a desire to keep serving the Lord, to go on and to use the gifts and the education that God has given them to walk in truth. There's not just a celebration and a continuation, but also a culmination. And again, keep reading. It says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Can I tell you something, parents? Don't expect your children to do more than you're doing. Don't expect them to take things further than you're willing to take them. They should be a continuation and a culmination of your life too. Because it wasn't just the children that received the commandment from the Father. It was the adults too. And may we be found faithful. So you see the education and the expectation. And then we get to 3 John and we see the exuberation. Number 4 talks about these children again. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can I tell you something? Life is all about not money, not possessions, not being famous. Life is all about this. There's nothing greater. There's no greater goal. There's no greater work. There's no greater satisfaction. There's no greater joy than to see our young people going on and doing what's right. There's a lot of things the world tries to offer our young people, and we need to pray for them. But the greatest thing that can possibly happen is our kids go on and serve the Lord. The Lord laid this ministry on my heart and my dad before me. And I'm thankful for every young person that attends our school. It's a hard ministry. It's a demanding ministry. But these kids that are going on and serving the Lord, it's a rewarding ministry. And there's no, look what the verse says, no greater joy. I hope every parent gets a hold of that. No greater joy. If your kid on the basketball team this year averages 30 points a game, it's nothing compared if they go on and serve the Lord. No matter what it is, they may be a great orator, they may be a great writer, they may be whatever the case is. But there's nothing greater than seeing them go on and serve the Lord. I have no greater joy. That's a powerful verse. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. May we be used of God to see this education process take place, and then with the expectation that they will serve the Lord and go on, and then be able to leave this earth with an exuberation, an excitement, a joy, the greatest joy, that our children walked in truth.